This is the Norris Group's Real Estate Investor Radio Show, the award-winning show dedicated to thought leaders shaping the real estate industry and local experts revealing their insider tips to succeed in an ever-changing real estate market. Hosted by author, investor, and hard money lender, Bruce Norris.
On Friday, September 22nd, the Norris Group proudly presents its 10th annual award-winning black tie event, I Survived Real Estate. An incredible lineup of industry experts will join Bruce Norris to discuss perplexing industry trends, head-scratching legislation, and opportunities emerging for real estate professionals. All proceeds from the event benefit Make-A-Wish and St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. This event would not be possible without the generous help of the following platinum partners: Housing Wire, Coach Fullerton, Coldwell Banker Town & Country, Property Radar, the Apartment Owners Association, the San Diego Creative Real Estate Investors Association, Invest Club, Las Brisas Escrow, MVT Productions, Inland Empire Real Estate Investment Club, Realty 411, and White House Catering. Visit isurvivedrealestate.com for event information and tickets.
Hi, thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris, and today our special guest is David Kittle. David began his mortgage banking career in 1978 with American Fletcher Mortgage Company. As a top producing loan officer, he moved to the management side in 86. He opened his own company, Associates Mortgage Group, in 1994 and selling it in 2006. David is founding partner and vice chairman of the Mortgage Collaborative, the nation's premier mortgage cooperative. David is past president of the Louisville and Kentucky Mortgage Bankers Association. He's the past chairman of MBA's Political Action Committee, MORPAC, and former vice chair of MBA's Residential Board of Governors. He served on MBA's board of directors from 2004 to 2010. David is past chairman of the Mortgage Bankers Association in Washington, D.C., completing his term in October 2009. David, principled and straightforward approach served him well in the industry. He testified 14 times before Congress and led the industry during the most tumultuous period it's ever had. David, welcome back to our show. I appreciate you being here.
No, thank you. It's great to be back with you, Bruce. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, one of the things I noticed this morning when I was looking over your introduction was you've had really good timing with what you've done, whether it's been accidental or intentional. I mean, you get into the mortgage business as an owner in 94, which is really just about the start of when things go crazy for the next 12 years. Then you sell it in 06, which had to be pretty much the peak. And you're kind of an expert in the business, and that's the business is going to need an expert sitting in front of Congress going, okay, I know you're going to screw it up, but don't screw it up too bad because it's, you know, it's still worth having. So anyway, you seem like you've landed in the right spot. And then when the rules became so different, now you have a mortgage collaborative business that puts all these smart minds together and help each other. I just think it's brilliant.
Well, thank you. I had nothing to do with it. It was all luck and timing. And I heard that intro, and I was wondering how I got through all of that when I'm only 29 years old. So that's just amazing.
You know, that's, I guess we can all say that we don't really plan out a lot of what we ended up doing. People look back at it sometimes, and they think, that was a brilliant move. You go, yeah, you have no idea how accidental that was. But
you don't get to pick your year as chairman and or the events that happen. And I was blessed. I had a lot of good people around me to go through that at MBA and the industry. But I actually enjoyed defending the industry because they were most of the people needed defending.
Yeah. That was really an important time period because there were a lot of rules that were probably prevented from being imposed. I mean, there's enough of them as there are, but there was probably a lot more aggression that could have occurred if there hadn't been some common sense attached to it.
I agree with you. There was, we blocked a lot. I mean, a lot got through, but we did our part in helping shape it. You know, MBA and the industry never had a problem. In fact, we called for good regulation. We didn't call for onerous regulation. There's a distinct difference. And now that we have a new administration, some of those onerous regulations are being relieved a little bit, and the market is quite improved.
Okay. The whole idea of the word collaborative being attached to business is a little unusual. We talked a little bit about that off air, but you know, usually you think about competition and everybody's a competitor. And here your business model is saying, let's put the brightest minds in a room and share their model with other competitors.
we got together, four of us, Gary Acosta, Gary, my partner, who's the CEO of MALREP, the National Association of Hispanic Real Estate Professionals, Jim Park, Chairman Emeritus of the Asian Real Estate Group, and John Robbins, former NBA chairman and a longtime mortgage banker. The four of us got together in May of 2013, and we knew there was a space for this. We're a cooperative. There were a couple of them out there, but we decided to do this a little bit differently. And we brought people together, and we decided that we were going to have a certain type of culture, that we weren't going to be concerned with how big it got, that it was going to get to a point where if I couldn't walk in the room and know everybody's name, then we weren't going to let anybody else in, literally.
Okay.
And so if you do the same premise that you have and that most people have, you take care of your customers, we give them an environment to collaborate, to talk and learn from each other, and to better their executions and to make better margins through their collaboration. And it's been extremely successful over the last 4 years.
I would have to think that that would be the hardest thing, is to end up with a margin going through the processes and all the changes and all the fines. You know, it's interesting. I get news constantly emailed to me, and I don't think a day goes by that somebody isn't settling some kind of a lawsuit or a fine that stemmed from something they did a decade ago.
Yeah, you look at that right now today. I mean, DHH is settling. Wells, some things that have happened 4 and 5 years ago, legacy things in your business. And we have had, with the just-finished administration, a very punitive DOJ and HUD together that went after people over and over and over again. And that's, if they deserve to be gone after, so be it. But look how many times, for example, Bank of America was taken to task. And at the end of the day, they were actually forced to purchase Countrywide. And then end up paying fines over the loans that originated, that Countrywide originated. So you go back, I mean, the trail behind you scares a lot of people, and it should, from some of the fines to the point they're paying years after these loans were originated.
Well, it also has to really stop any aggression going forward. I mean, if you're still on the hot seat for something happened 10 years ago, there's no way you're going to say, well, I think we can get involved in something that that's new and creative for the industry and maybe a little bit more risk. That just wouldn't seem to be the appetite.
I wouldn't disagree with that. There's good risk and bad risk, and that's the decision you have to make going forward. I was just at a conference this last weekend in San Diego, the Housing Renaissance Conference, sitting around with just a very intimate conference, 60 people, and we were talking about how you can't underwrite loans. The actual art of underwriting the loan is lost, because you have nothing but automated systems. I may have said this at one of your gigs in the past, but if I have two loans in front of me and they both had bankruptcies, one because of a lifetime event, the other one because they spent all their money on 40 credit cards and didn't pay them, I can't make a business decision today on the one loan that had a lifetime event and do it because right. of all the reps and warranties and repurchases. So common sense underwriting is a lost art, and the industry needs to get to a point where it can get back to it.
You see that as a likely outcome anytime soon?
I think we're pushing for it. Okay. I think people are talking about it, and I think, yes, it has to get back to that. When you talk about access to credit, you want to make more loans to more people, you have to be willing to look at the loan on a case-by-case basis. So, yes, I think we'll get back there.
Now, you mentioned the new administration. I mean, the word cooperative or collaborative hasn't struck me yet during this first 6 months or so. Maybe you're seeing it from a whole different perspective. I just see it seems very aggressively, I'm not talking about this administration, but its ability to get things done seems to be under attack by everyone that's possible. So with that being go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you, but yes, they are being attacked from every side. Certainly, they got no grace period, no honeymoon. You know, some of it has to do with non-politicians were elected, people who really didn't know Washington, D.C. And unfortunately, you know, it's a swamp, like they say, at times. So he's been blocked, and some of the things that he wants to do. A lot of other issues on the plate prior, a higher priority to the administration. And housing also, though, that's very important to us, isn't it?
Yeah.
And housing drives this economy. So I think they know it. I think they'll get around to it. I think they're going to do a very good job with it long term.
What going back to the mortgage collaborative, what does it do for somebody that decides to get involved with your group?
Well, we now have 115 lender members, and I'm going to guess at this number, somewhere around 36, 38 of those are depositories. So it's a very diverse group and a couple of credit unions, along with about 67 preferred partners, which are vendors. And we put them together, they get better pricing like a normal co-op would get. So we do different things at our conferences. We just don't bring in the talking head speakers and listen to somebody speak and, you know, all day long in general sessions. We listen to our members, and they ask for massive breakout sessions where they could meet with our preferred partners and each other to discuss best practices. From those requests, okay, this is a really cool idea here, we formed what we now call collab labs, collaboration labs.
I watched one of them today.
You did? That's great. And yeah. What did you think of
it? I thought it was great. And just the whole concept. In other words, the best people sharing what they know. I mean, that to me is a business owner that's got a lot of confidence that he's still going to be okay, even though he does that.
Yeah, but not only is he showing what happens well. He gets in that group, and we ask five or six to join, and usually there's a conflict farther out in four, maybe. And you go to one of the four's offices and spend a day and a half and have dinner. One of us from the Mortgage Collaborative will attend, one of the staff, or maybe one of the officers or owners, but they also talk about the things that are failing in their business.
Okay.
That is so unique. You want to talk about confidence with your peers. So they're saying, I don't do this well. How can you help me? Can the others give out information freely? And to your point, they don't fear the competition. It is about collaboration and helping each other. And it's so really down to earth and different from what you find in normal business. Now they'll leave there and try and go beat each other up and take each other's business for sure. but that's what they do, and it's worked very well for us.
One of my most memorable conferences I ever went to as attendee, there was a gentleman that owned Anchor Mortgage who was in the hard money loan business, and he shared very specific information how they did underwriting, and gave people all of the information. And I went up after him. We're friends now, and because I was so impressed that he did that, because that would be very helpful for someone that didn't understand the process. And it certainly hasn't hurt his business. So I like the whole concept of people doing that. And he was pretty confident that he didn't have to worry, and he doesn't.
You know, it's mentoring is another way that I would put that out there. If I could go off on a small tangent for a second, when I go out and speak now, and the last couple of talks I've given have been to state mortgage bankers associations. And I stood there, and it was about diversity. In fact, one of them had Rodrigo Lopez, who's the current NBA chairman there, and we were talking about diversity. So he's from South America, and our first Latino chairman of NBA. Great guy, great friend for a long time. But when I got up and spoke just for a second, I looked out of the crowd, and what I saw was probably an average age of 50 or older, and probably 90%+ white male.
Okay.
And I asked everybody in the office, I said, you know, you hiring diversity? Everybody's raising their hands. Yeah, yeah. And I looked at them, I said, who's replacing you? So look at the average age here. We're hiring young talent. And I looked at them, I said, then why aren't they here? Why aren't you investing? If this is a great conference for you to be at, and you're raising up new, diverse, Latino, Hispanic, Asian, African-American, whoever you're hiring in your business, why aren't they at the conference? And you just look at blank faces like, wow, I don't know why they're not here. They should be.
Yeah.
So the industry is not doing a good job of replacing itself right now.
Well, you've got a conference coming up August 23rd, and that's about a 3 or 4 day conference. What are some of the key points that you're going to be discussing during those days?
Well, it's actually the 20th through the 23rd. The 23rd is the Kittle Golf Classic.
Oh, that's why I wrote that down. The most important event. That's right.
Yeah, that's the most important event. So we have, you know, we're going to be in Nashville, and a great city and town to go to. And we didn't know this when we planned it, but the solar eclipse, Nashville is one of the epicenters as it comes across the country. So now if you want to go to Nashville, I think here, airline ticket is 3 times normal, and there's not a room available within 75 miles of the city. So we actually are breaking our conference for about an hour and a half, going to the rooftop. We've got eclipse glasses, and we're going to go up on the roof and look at it. We actually have engaged a former astronaut, Ron Guerin, to come speak to us.
Yeah, I saw all that. That's pretty fantastic.
And he writes a book on, are you ready?
Yeah.
Collaboration. So we've got the solar eclipse, we've got the astronaut with a mortgage collaborative, and he's going to talk about collaboration. And then we had him coming in to be a chairman. David, I'm just losing his last name, and he's one of my best friends, and that's terrible. Dave Motley, thank you, is going to speak with us. We have Brian Montgomery, former commissioner at FHA. So we have some people to give industry perspective, but most of it is putting our members up on stage and talking about what they do best to the rest of our members.
Okay. What's the mood like in the industry right now? Are people feeling like they're able to make a good living and they have bright prospects?
Profits are down a little bit. Applications, you know, from week to week go up and down. The forecast for the year, I think, went up a little bit over it was last year for originations. It's still off from where it should be. We still talk about access to credit is not as good as it should be. We had talk about, Mel Watt making the decision at this past conference for not looking at redoing how they score credits. The credit scoring until probably 2019. Everybody's going, why? Vantage Score gives a new credit scoring model as opposed to FICO that's out there, which would give more people access to credit. And that's not going to be available through the GSEs until 2019 now. So there's some, and here's the major thing brought up. It's over $8,000 to produce a loan now. Think about that. Every loan cost over $8,000 to produce. 10 years ago, it was $4,000. All of that is backroom compliance cost.
Yeah. Wow.
And it's a ridiculous number to get to. So we have to find a way to reduce the origination cost in order to make access to credit a little bit better. So I would say, to answer your question pointedly, that most of my friends in the business are still very optimistic. Many of them are expanding. There's business out there. You just have to be technologically savvy, number one, but you can never, ever forget that this is now and always will be a relationship business, that people do business with people they like and trust. And so that's the key to it right there in my mind.
You know, I was going to ask you about the role technology plays and how different it is to go from, let's say I'm the consumer, who do I borrow from? How do I make that contact? And do I ever even need to see the person? How different has that changed over, say, the last 10 years?
Oh, it's tremendously changed. You know, it depends on what your age is. You know, millennials want the app, and the Rocket Mortgage, and certainly Quicken has done an amazing job with them. Their customer service surveys are off the charts, so they've proven that's the model. However, there are still most of the borrowers out there are probably in their mid to late 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s like myself, and we still want to look somebody in the eye. Now, I just refinanced a year and a half ago, did most of it either online or by emailing docs back and forth, and the person that closed my loan came to my home. So I didn't have to go to the attorney's office to sign docs, although it was just a pretty well streamlined refinance. The point is, technology took care of most of it. But with technology and everything else come, fraud now is back on the rise a little bit. And most of the fraud is occurring between the closing and the delivery of the loan and the delivery of the money right now. So money is being taken or misdirected away from where it's supposed to be going. And, it's wire fraud. So even though you have technology, you still have fraud. And so that's something that the industry is looking at and still struggles with.
What percentage of loans are typically refis versus purchase in any given year?
So, last 3 to 5 years, it's been all refi.
Okay.
There's a huge dynamic shift now. It's mostly purchase. And I don't have those percentages. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. But just the trend in general. One of the things that I thought, I still think is going to occur, but say by the end of next year, we'll have a recession. Doesn't have to be a great recession, but if we have a recession, we typically back off on interest rates, and you might end up with, I just wrote a report, starts with it said 2% mortgage rates, $40 trillion in debt and other surprise endings. So I wouldn't be surprised if we have a mortgage rate that starts with a 2 at some point in 2018, later in the year. If that occurs, your mortgage business is going to be completely slammed with refis. I guess my concern is, and it could have already occurred, let's say that I'm wrong, we don't ever get to that, but everybody's already got in place a mortgage that starts with a 3. It seems like there'll be a lot less house selling maybe going forward, where people just say, gosh, I've got such a good rate, I'm just camping out.
Could happen. And, you know, they fix up what they have, remodel.
Yeah.
Or do an extra build to it, add a room, you know, finish the basement, expand the patio, and stay where they are. And that happens. If I could go off on one more tangent,
sure,
with this, at this particular conference last week at Housing Renaissance in San Diego, here we are talking again about our business and our industry, and we always forget about the renter. Now, you know, renting shouldn't be a bad word. Everybody deserves a roof over their head. Not everybody deserves to be a homeowner, depending on how they perform. So good, affordable rental units need to be developed. Affordable housing goals are going to come up as a discussion topic as we move forward. I'm all for affordable housing. We don't have enough of it. What I don't like is affordable housing goals that have an ideological background and an agenda with them, to use it as a political model. And that's the chasm for me right there. But, you know, we've got to come up with more affordable housing. Land cost off the charts, especially where you live in California.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
and
that's,
or Hawaii.
Yeah, the idea of building an affordable rental from scratch with the cost, I mean, it's not even feasible. It isn't. You know, and that's, you do need, I understand what you're saying. I don't want an agenda saying, okay, we have to build exactly this, and it's going to be government subsidized, and it, you know, you end up having problems from day one, because the mix, I don't know, it gets to be dangerous, because a lot of those areas that, let's say, have that type of homes, not some place you'd want to live after 5 years, because it's actually gets dangerous. At least in our area it has.
Yes.
So I don't know what the answer is, you know, because a builder isn't going to take that on and say, yeah, I'll build a project for a great loss. It's not even feasible.
Exactly right. But back to your original question, we have a lack of inventory, number one. Housing prices are back and rising in most areas. And so the market is back a little bit, but it's the affordability of the home. Now, I've always said, all the way through the mortgage crisis, even back when I was chairman, the main solution here is jobs. Good paying jobs solves a lot of ills, right?
Yeah.
So as the job market continues to come back strong, and it is for Trump so far, that may help this as well. But if nobody's moving and everybody's refinancing, then you don't have the houses on the market. New home construction is not affordable for the first time home buyer. So, you know, there's your delta.
Yeah, that used to be a big part of the local county where I live, Riverside. That's a big deal most of the time, but now it's not. There's the fees and so forth. It doesn't make sense to build that entry-level product. It just doesn't. David, we're out of time. I want to thank you again for coming to our event. You're actually one of the crowd's favorites, and so it's exciting when you get there, because you mix it up a little bit, and we have some other people that'll help you out with that too. So that'll be great fun.
I'm really looking forward to it, and very much appreciate coming back.
The Norris Group would like to thank its gold sponsors for supporting I Survived Real Estate. First Lending Solutions, Guaranteed Rate and Nathan Chiboya, In a Day Development, Inland Valley Association of Realtors, Jennifer Buys Houses, Keller Williams Corona, Keystone CPA, LA South RIA, Michael Ryan, New Western, North San Diego Real Estate Investors, Northern California Real Estate Investors Association, Orange County Investment Club, Pacific Premier Bank, Pasadena Phoebe, Pilot Limousine, Real Wealth Network, Rick and Leanne Rossiter, the San Jose Real Estate Investors Association, San Francisco Bay Real Estate Networking Summit, Sunoco Corporation, South Orange County Real Estate Club, Spinnaker Loans, Think Realty, U Direct IRA Services, West and South Coast Plaza, Wilson Investment Properties, Inc., See isurvivedrealestate.com for event information.
For more information on hard money loans and upcoming events with the Norris Group, check out thenorrisgroup.com. For information on passive investing with trust deeds, visit tngtrustdeeds.com.